You have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. It's really encouraged my heart, encouraged my soul tonight as different ones have shared different things. Amen. Even the songs that have been sung here tonight encourage me, help me to realize that we're on the right track here tonight. God is talking to us. Amen. He's not talking to the church down the road. He's talking to Calvary Lighthouse Church, those that are present tonight in this building, and those that are watching via Facebook. Amen. He is talking to us. And I am so thankful that he is still talking to his church, still building his church, still sanctifying his church, still pouring out the Holy Ghost upon his church, upon believers, and upon the lost. Amen. Because it's the only way they're going to get saved. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost opening up their blinded eyes, giving them ample opportunity time and time again to turn from the path they're walking to the pathway of righteousness. See, that's how the Spirit of God moves. That's why you're saved tonight. If you're saved tonight, born again by the Spirit of God tonight, it's because the Holy Ghost moved in your life and brought you to a place of decision where you turned from the path you were going on and you turned unto Jesus Christ. And that was the Spirit of God. That was not just you. That was the Spirit of God moving on your behalf to renew your mind and open your blinded eyes so you could see. And when you saw, you made the right choice. Hallelujah. You turned to Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And that's what the Spirit of God is still doing in these last days. It's exciting what happened in Belize, and it's exciting what's happening here tonight. Amen. In our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Praise the Lord. I've made a statement years ago, just because I read it somewhere from a discussion of those who are supposed to know these things called doctors. Amen. And they said your subconscious mind many times absorbs and collects more information than your conscious mind. And the reason being is when your mind is conscious, sometimes you don't focus on everything that's coming at you. You only pull out one thing, and especially us men. I don't know whether you ladies have ever noticed it, that when we are doing something and you start talking to us, it's like we acknowledge that you're there, but we're not hearing a word that you say. Sister Four May, that happened to me just the other day with you on the phone, and that's why I didn't remember to tell Gina Lou to call you, because I was occupied with what I was doing and only halfway listening to what you were saying on the phone. Yeah, I know. But that's the way we are as men, and we get ourselves in trouble a lot, and a lot of times we do it even to our children. So we've got to be careful. Start paying attention. So if you're here tonight and you're half awake, praise God. You're going to get twice as much. Hallelujah. I may have to preach twice as long, but you're going to get twice as much. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 15 tonight. If you can stand with me for the reading of our opening text, if you would, here tonight. Paul's writing, he's writing to the Corinthians. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Wow, is right. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for your word, and we ask you, God, to move with your Holy Ghost and enlighten us tonight from your scriptures and from this message, Lord. Let your will be accomplished in us and let your anointing rest upon this place tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated again tonight. What a statement from the Apostle Paul. And I will very gladly, not just gladly, very gladly, spend and be spent for somebody else. Is that a rarity in the age we're in? Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. The more I do for you, it seems like the less grateful you are. But basically, he's making the statement, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. There's just something about the love of God when it is flowing in your own personal soul. Tonight's title, it may already be up there. Nope, not yet. Maybe it was. The Delight of Sacrifice. Now you stop and think about that for a moment, and sacrifice never really sounds delightful. But yet, this is what we have just read. We have heard from the Apostle Paul sharing the delight of sacrifice. And the delight of sacrifice is something that is not generated within mankind. It is only generated in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is only generated by the Spirit of God. It is only accomplished through that equalizer. Brother Jason preached about the last time he preached 2 weeks ago Sunday night. That equalizer produces something in us that we would never produce ourselves, because it's not natural man nature to delight in sacrifice. The nature of man is to delight in somebody else's sacrifice, somebody else's effort. Sister Lindsay was making reference to being willing to pay the price, and how that yet we're benefiting from somebody paid the price for us to experience what we've experienced and to grow to where we have grown. Someone paid the price so we could receive of God and learn of God and have the knowledge of God and have that Spirit of God flowing in our hearts and in our lives. Somebody paid the price. Somebody delighted in sacrifice. In Romans 5:5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because here's the key, church, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Whether we want to accept it or not, a lot of times our hindrance to receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost is a fear that we will not have control of our lives. Or a hesitation, not necessarily a fear, a hesitation that we won't have control of what we can do. But the only way we can begin to delight in sacrifice, and the only way we can begin to experience the love of God and the power of God, is when we learn we will never have what we need as a Christian, as a child of God, without the Spirit of God in full control. We'll never be able to be what we need to be without that equalizer. Hallelujah. Praise our God. That was awesome that Brother Jason was sharing. He preached that message, and when he got to that point and began to share how that the Holy Ghost of God was that equalizer, his interpreter broke down worshiping God, praising God, magnifying God, realizing, hallelujah, the power that we have through the Holy Ghost. And he just more or less got caught up in the Spirit of God. And Brother Jason just had to go ahead and keep on preaching in English. And then he finally began to interpret again. But that was the power of God just gripping that man's heart. A lot of times you don't find that in an interpreter. That is one of the greatest things you can encounter is when the interpreter is just as anointed as you are. Hallelujah. And moving with the Spirit of God as you are. I've been to Mexico and I've experienced the same thing. Hallelujah. How that the interpreter begins to preach right with you. It's not a matter as he's hearing you. He's just preaching with you. Hallelujah. And the minute you begin to share, it's like he don't even have to hear what you're saying. He just starts saying it too. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Praise God. What is that? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's that anointing of the Spirit of God. That's God just moving and unctioning in the hearts and the lives. And see, this is where the love comes from. This is where the delight of sacrifice comes from. Have you ever wondered why some people turn away from God? When God has so many benefits and so many blessings and such love and such mercy and such grace for our lives, and yet some turn away from Him because they get hung up on sacrifice. They get hung up with consecration. They get hung up with commitment. They get hung up with consistency. They get hung up with doing and not receiving. But that born-again believer, filled with the Spirit of God, becomes a vessel that is ready to be poured out for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And this is why we need the equalizer. This is why we need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. This is why, hallelujah, so that we can move from the realm of the natural into the realm of the spiritual, where we can begin to delight and sacrifice for somebody else. Move beyond the realm that it's about me to where it's about Christ. Amen. Once the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, we deliberately begin to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ's interests and purposes in others' lives. Wow. In Christ. How many times have you read that in the Bible? In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Conformed to the image of Christ. What is the image of Christ? Well, that's not talking about His facial features. It's not talking about His physical features. The image of Christ is His spiritual features. His love, His kindness, His mercy, His grace, His desire to see the lost saved. Hallelujah. That is the image of Christ that you and I are to be conformed into. And this is what begins to happen as the Spirit of God is poured out upon us, shed abroad in our hearts. The Holy Ghost revealing that love of God. That love of God brings great thanksgiving in our hearts and in our souls. And such a desire to see others have what God has done for us. That all is stemmed out of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving only comes from God flooding our souls with the Spirit of God. Because if we're left to ourselves, we'll expect things to be done for us. We'll expect someone else to pay the price. How many times have you heard this statement? If everything God wanted to do depended on your prayers, how much would God get done? Whoa. If God was depending on your prayers to save this community, how many people would be saved? But where am I going to get that desire to pray? Where am I going to get that delight in sacrifice? Because sometimes prayer is a sacrifice. Prayer is giving up of myself for somebody else. Hallelujah. And so that gives you an idea of how much you're delighting in sacrifice tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. Delighting in sacrifice as that Spirit of God begins to move and begins to work in our lives. And Jesus has an interest in every individual person. We have no right in Christian service to be guided by our own interests or desires. In fact, this is one of the greatest tests of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether we are led by our own interests and our own desires, or whether we are led by the Spirit of God into the desires of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is interested in every individual you and I meet. Are we as interested in these individuals as Jesus Christ is? Then we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. This is the only way it's going to happen. The only way the interest of Jesus can become my interest is if the Spirit of God has filled my soul. And I am full of His desires. I am full of His love. I am full of His kindness. I am full of His mercy. I am full of His grace. Praise our God. I mean, if you're going to be full of anything, would that be something to be full of? The Spirit of God. Listen to John 15:13. You may know it by heart. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Yeah. Do you remember that story that Jesus told about being a neighbor? Do you remember how that story got started? Because Jesus had quoted the scripture and said, love your neighbor as yourself. And someone willing to justify their ill behavior, well, who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to be kind to? Who is my neighbor? Boy, they missed it completely, didn't they? So Jesus took opportunity to reveal, who are you? Which one of these was a neighbor? It's not a matter of who's my neighbor. It's a matter, am I being the neighbor? Am I being the one? Am I willing to pay the price? Am I willing to extend myself? Am I willing to sacrifice myself for somebody else's need? I'm not talking about finances here. I'm talking mainly about just a little time to share the goodness of God. A little time to share the great things God has done in your life. Because see, as you're being filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God is being shed abroad upon our hearts by the Holy Ghost, there are things happening in our lives. There are changes going on. There are transformations. And there are new insights into the wonderful kingdom of God and the wonderful Word of God. And you just got a cup running over. Like the psalmist said, Psalm 23, and my cup runneth over. How can your cup run over? By being full of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever filled anything completely full that it didn't spill over? Well, I'm sure there's some of you out there like me that are kind of perfectionist, and you could do it. Get that last drop in there, and she's right there at the brim, and you can see it over the edge of the glass just wanting to flip on over. Most folks aren't like that. You want a cup completely full, they just fill it until it runs over. Ever been in a restaurant, and they filled your cup, and it ran over? Why? Because they wanted to make sure you had a full cup. Your cup runneth over. That means there's excess. That means there's plenty, hallelujah, to go around. We're not going to drain the vastness of the river of the living God, hallelujah, by being full of the Holy Ghost. We're going thus to continually let it overflow. And that's where that desire of sacrifice comes from, because it's just God flowing out of us. Amen. Because if we're left to ourselves, we don't like to sacrifice. The delight of sacrifice is that I lay down my life for my friend. And my friend is Jesus. You see, Jesus laid down His life for me. Jesus laid down His life for you. And so, when I belong to Jesus and Jesus is living inside of me, I have that same mind of Christ, and I want to lay down my life for Him. I can remember very vividly when the Lord spoke to my heart and asked me this question that brought me to tears. He said, are you going to go away? Are you going to go back to where you used to live? Or are you going to follow me? And I didn't know the scriptures then like I know them now. I didn't know that the disciples had told Jesus, where would we go? You have the words of life. I didn't know those scriptures then. I just began to weep. And I just began to say, Lord, why would I want to go back when I have found the greatest thing that I have been looking for all my life? Wow. That was my desire, to know him and follow him. And from that point, it went forward to being filled with the Spirit of God, because I wasn't going back. I was going through. I wasn't turning around. I was going forward. Hallelujah. And I began to delight in God's Word. I shared with the men Thursday night, you know, when I got saved, my Bible came out of its box and off the shelf that it was in, the cabinet that it was in, and out of the box that it was in, that I'd received the Bible when I was 13 years old, and it's still like brand new. When I got saved, it came out of that box, and I wore that thing out because I couldn't put it down, didn't want to put it down. I wanted to be in it. Why? Because I was wanting to lay down my life for my friend. I had found Jesus. And he had found me. And he had come into my heart and come into my life. And it produced a desire of sacrifice. I did not want to put it down. Wow. Why? Because that's how I was going to grow. That's how I was going to know him. That's how I was going to fellowship with him. And praise be to God. Then I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that life began to even flourish greater. Amen. That power of God, that love of God, that anointing of God, that knowledge of God. Hallelujah. I don't throw my life away, but I willingly and deliberately lay it down for Jesus Christ and for his interest in other people. I think sometimes we miss this. We want to serve the Lord and we want to sacrifice for him, but we don't want to deal with people. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. You know, sometimes I don't want to deal with people. How about you? Oh, my. You ever just been overwhelmed by the fact that it seems like nobody really wants to hear about Jesus? I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about people. And you kind of get the thought, well, you know, nobody really wants to hear. So, you know, I get tired of trying to take it to them. We do. We do. A lot of times we get weary. Get weary. You know, because we are thinking out of our natural mind because we're not seeing anything in our mind. Sometimes our minds are delusional. There's all kinds of things going on, but we just ain't seeing it. You know, where our faith is kind of being shaken and we're being tested. And we've got to realize that people is where it's at. People is who we have to touch. People is who we have to encounter. And we want to make sure we're full of the Holy Ghost when we encounter them, because we want them to taste of the Lord and see that he's good. We don't want them to taste of us and see how wretched we are. Hello. Yet we want them to taste of the Lord and see that he's good. We want them to encounter the Spirit of God. We want them to encounter the love of God. We want them to, in other words, we really don't want them to encounter us. We want them to encounter Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to encounter Jesus Christ is if I'm full of the Spirit of God. And that is the only way they're going to see that God is real. Because just encountering us will not get the job done, no matter how good we may think we're living. And a lot of times we get delusional how good we think we're living, because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. no matter how good they are. Hello. That doesn't mean you can go live any way you want to live and you can live in sin and still go to heaven. That's not what that means. But I've got to have a reality, my favorite word, hallelujah, a reality that it's by the power of God. It's by the anointing of God. It's by the grace of God. It's by the mercies of the Lord. It's by men and women encountering Jesus Christ when they encounter you or me. Hallelujah. And that is that delight of sacrifice. That's where Paul got that I would gladly spend and be spent. The more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. You go read the whole Corinthian books and you find that many of them were turning against him, saying lies about him, demising him and trying to dismiss him of any authority at all. And he was the one that brought them the gospel and the way they got saved. He hadn't changed one bit, but they had. But yet he was desirous to sacrifice, willing to sacrifice, because he knew it was their only hope of restoration. It was their only hope of renewal. It was their only hope of revival. If you really want revival, get your eyes off everybody else. Get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on Jesus Christ, and you will experience revival. Hallelujah. The delight of sacrifice comes from the Spirit of God. Paul spent his life for only one purpose, that he might win people to Jesus Christ. Paul always attracted people to his Lord, but never to himself. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 19, he said, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ." In other words, he didn't delve into sin to win the sinner, but he didn't shun them either. He reached to them. He ministered to them. "That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Did you catch that in that verse? I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He didn't say save all. See, this is the desire of sacrifice. Knowing that some aren't going to believe, but I'm still going to do my best to reach them. I'm still going to do my best to help them find Christ. I'm going to become things to all. Amen. That by all means, I can gain one. I can get one saved. I can reach one for Jesus Christ. I may have to go through 100. Before I get one. But I'm going to go through 100. Hallelujah. I may have to go through 1,000 before I get 10. I'm going to go through 1,000. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, this is a joke that I've said different times to different people. They'll ask, you know, when they haven't seen you in a while, "Well, how many are you running?" I say, "Well, I'm running about 2,500. And I'm catching about 40. I got the rest of them on the run." Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, that's kind of funny, but that's really how it is. Hallelujah. We got a community here of 2,100, 2,500 if you count the surrounding area. Hallelujah. And we haven't won them all yet. But we've got us. And we're gaining ground on the rest of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because we're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we're asking God for revival. We're asking God for a sovereign move. We're asking God to do it in me, in the first person. Don't catch yourself like the one individual where we were preaching a revival service, and he was so excited about the message that I was preaching. And he said, "Oh, Brother Pepper, my, that is the greatest message I've ever heard on that subject. I mean, I was just couldn't contain myself. I was about to get up and shout." He said, "Man, I was shoveling that over to them folks behind me. They sure needed that." Whoa. Praise God. Amen, Brother Matthew, don't worry about it getting past your pew. Make sure it gets to you. Amen. Hallelujah. And that goes for anybody else. Amen. Lindsay, don't worry about it passing you or getting to you or passing behind you. Make sure you got it when it comes your way. Hallelujah. It's not for somebody else. It's always for me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That reality of my desperate need of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in my heart and in my life so that it will produce a desire to sacrifice. Sister Pepper knows all too well those times when I say, "I'm just tired of dealing with it." And it's time to get full of the Holy Ghost. It's time to get full of the Holy Ghost to where you're not tired of dealing with it. That you're going to deal with it till it's done. You're going to deal with it till it's victory. You're going to deal with it until they're saved. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. When someone thinks that to develop a holy life, he must always be alone with God, he is no longer of any use to others. Don't misunderstand. We need to get alone with God. But don't run from people. People's where it's at. Did Jesus run from people? No. He was always right in the middle of them. And what was he doing? Preaching, teaching, healing, miracles, in the midst of people who needed to be saved. He wasn't in the midst of the synagogue. He wasn't in the midst of the temple per se, doing all the miracles there. He did a few. But he did all of most of his miracles out and about among the people. Why? Because they were the ones who were desperately in need and reaching for the answer. A lot of the times the church per se doesn't want any more of an answer. They don't want to go to the root of their problems. They don't want it plucked up by the roots. They just want it brushed over a little bit or put under the rug. But people that are out there in the world and they're tired of sin and they're in a desperate way, and you start sharing the goodness of God and the truths of the kingdom that will deliver them and set them free, they're wanting it. They're tired of sin and they want to know a way loose from it. And that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the power thereof. But if you're not loose from it yourself, you're going to have a hard time convincing them they can get loose. Because you're not going to have a power or anointing upon you because you're not loose. See, this is why it's important to be full of the Holy Ghost, because to be full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to be loosed. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to have to get everything under the blood and get that power of God moving and flowing in our hearts and in our lives. This is like putting himself on a pedestal and isolating himself from the rest of society. Paul was a holy person. But wherever he went, Jesus Christ was always allowed to help himself to his life. Many of us are interested only in our own goals. And sad to say, sometimes our goals are for Jesus. There's multitudes out there wanting to do great things for Jesus. But they ain't wanting to do what Jesus wants done. See, there's a difference. And when you can line up and position yourself where you're ready to do what Jesus wants done, then you'll do great things for the kingdom of God. Jesus cannot help himself to our lives. But if we are totally surrendered to him, we have no goals of our own to serve. Paul said that he knew how to be a doormat without resenting it. Because the motivation of his life was devotion to Jesus Christ. We tend to be devoted not to Jesus Christ, but to the things which allow us more spiritual freedom, quote unquote, than total surrender to him would allow. Freedom was not Paul's motive at all. In fact, he stated, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, delighting in sacrifice. The desire, we call it a burden sometimes, a burden for the lost. What is that? That's just letting Jesus Christ have full reign and control in my heart and in my life, and he wants everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. But sometimes we look at people and think, that'll never happen. Whoa, that's our own interest. That's our own thought pattern. That's our own judgment. If there's still breath in a body, then there's hope. I can remember after I got saved and I started telling people I got saved, their jaw hit the ground. When I started telling them, yeah, I'm a preacher now. You? Oh, yeah. See, Jesus Christ, he wants to rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. You see, we'll never really have full freedom until Jesus Christ is in control. We will always be bound by ourselves. We'll always kind of be in that back and forth mode, knowing what's right, but not, you know, Brother Jason preached about that. You know, the thing that I would, I do not, and what I do not, I would, and, you know, I'm just kind of paraphrasing that, but just to the reality, I'm not getting it done at all because I'm not really fully surrendered to the Holy Ghost. Well, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've spoken in tongues. Well, it's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting surrendered to the Holy Ghost on a continual basis. Amen. Because you can surrender and pray through and speak in tongues, and you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I guess that stick's gone. I was going to pick it up, swing it around. I mean, you know, just because you had the stick once, do you have it right now? Because you have to maintain. You ever read that in the Bible? Maintain good works. You have to maintain that presence of God. You have to maintain that anointing of God. You have to maintain that desire to sacrifice. Amen. Why do we have revivals? So we can get back the desire to sacrifice. So we can get back to a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. So we can get back to leaving behind the old man and walking in the new man. That's why we have revivals. Had Paul lost his ability to reason? Not at all. For someone who is in love, this is not an overstatement. And Paul was in love with Jesus Christ. Sister Pepper mentioned the book of Revelation. Buying gold. What is that? Well, she shared it. That's that desire to sacrifice. That's that anointing of God. That's that love of God being poured out on our souls. To where it's not what I want, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. That was some of the last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he was headed for that cross and for that beating and for that excruciating pain and torment that he went through. You see, a lot of times people get a little carried away on trying to make it as gory as they can. And they'll never really get it right because they weren't there. The emphasis is not on how much that he took. The emphasis needs to be more on he took it for me. He took it for you. And there is great reality in his presence and in his power of what it has done for us. Hallelujah. Trying to move people with how severe it happened is a carnal attempt to get people emotional for the moment. But when you start sharing about the sacrifice that he did under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's not a matter of how gory it was, how evil it was, or how much it hurt. It's the fact that he did it for your sins. And that's what the Spirit of God will instantly begin to illuminate and bring men and women to tears, because he died for them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where does that come from? That comes from delighting in that sacrifice. Psalms 40 and 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Delighting to do the will of God. Hallelujah. I've been there so many times in my personal life of the direction of God and the path that God was leading me on and taking me to. From the time I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, called to preach, called to evangelize, called to pastor, called to pioneer, just the list goes on and on, of the times that God brought me to the point where I had to get rid of all self-interest, I had to get rid of all fear, and I had to know this is what God wanted done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my fears, not what others may say. Believe it or not, when I went to Pioneer, this church in Chelsea, I only had one pastor that actually was encouraging me. The rest of them were trying to tell me to do it somewhere else. The rest of them trying to tell me there ain't nothing there. There ain't no need for you to be there. There's churches there. Every carnal thought and reason why not. Coming from people who should have had a little bit more spirituality going on than that. And so I just had to not listen to them. I didn't even listen to the one that was trying to encourage me, because his encouragement was, Brother Pepper, if God's leading you that direction, you would be a fool not to go. And that was his encouragement. He wasn't telling me what I ought to do. He was telling me, listen and do. And I did. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, but it's just one of those turning points. All my interest, everything, it had to be put aside. And I had to hear from heaven. Of course, I had already been hearing from heaven. Heaven wouldn't leave me alone. And that's what heaven wanted done. And that's what we did. Hallelujah. And God has blessed us ever since. And of course, here we are, sitting in this nice, wonderful sanctuary, because, as Sister Pepper's already shared, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And if you're fighting battles and spiritual warfare, you're on track. Hallelujah. Because it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take warfare. Hallelujah. It's not going to come easy, and it's not always going to be on the high road. Sometimes it's going to be on the low road, and we're going to be down under those altars praying until we get the mind of God fresh and anew. Hallelujah. Praise God. And keeping the delight of serving him. The delight of sacrifice. Serving God to the natural man is foolishness. That spiritual man, it's life. And life more abundantly. Hallelujah. I mean, surely you've heard this little terminology. You can never outgive God. A lot of times we think of dollars. That's not what it's talking about completely. No. Give your time in prayer, and God will meet you. He'll bless you. And Sister Lindsay, he'll give you the desire of your hearts. Hallelujah. You know, even when you don't think he will. Praise God. He will. You see, I mean, that's his promise. You know, when we just start giving ourselves wholly unto him, then things like that begin to grieve us. Why? Because it grieves the Spirit of God. It grieves Jesus Christ. Things like that, he doesn't want to see it molding the minds of young people either. He wants us being that light to shine, us being that voice to speak, us being that hand extended, us being him. Him. We are not fundamentally free. External circumstances are not in our hands or in our control. They are in God's. The one thing in which we are free is in our personal relationship to God. We are totally free into that relationship with God, but we are not in control of circumstances around us. We are not responsible for the circumstances we are in many times, but we are responsible for the way we allow those circumstances to affect us. We can either allow them to get on top of us, or we can allow them to transform us into what God wants us to be. Wow. Delighting in sacrifice brings forth that desire that no matter these circumstances, God's will be done. Don't allow it to take you under. Allow it to make you stronger. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this scripture here tonight, Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I'm sorry, I've got one more scripture. I thought they were all together. One more, Hebrews 6 and 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Amen. Could I have a piano player again to the piano here tonight? The delight of sacrifice, being full of the Holy Ghost, that equalizer. The reality that as I allow God to have His will in my life, then I am going to be ministering to those that are around me. Whether it be my children of the home, my spouse of the home, whether it to be my co-workers where I work, whether it be in school where I'm at, whether it be in the house of God, wherever I go, wherever we go, we need to be ministering for Christ. When we come to the house of God, sometimes we need to minister to Jesus Christ, waiting on the Lord for the promise given, worshiping Him and entering into His presence. A lot of times that is the sacrifice of praise. Even when I don't feel it, I know He's worthy of it. Too many times we wait on feeling instead of acknowledging Him in all our ways. Hallelujah. Knowing how worthy He is of the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And as I am ministering to the Lord, you will find you began to minister to the saints. Hallelujah. You see, it's not a matter of trying to bear down on which one needs it the most. It's a matter of knowing we all need more of Jesus. We all need a closer walk. We all need a greater anointing. We all need to be the light to shine for Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of who's a 100 watt, who's a 75 watt, who's a 60 watt, who's a 4 watt. That's not what matters. Amen. What matters is every individual is reaching for greater wattage. Reaching, amen, for greater sacrifice of giving oneself wholly into the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. For what He may be asking of you this week, you may give. And you will be blessed. And you will be rewarded. And it will help somebody else. But next week He may ask for something new. Something maybe you never even thought of before. Or had seen in God's Word before. And He'll ask of you this sacrifice. As you willingly then give it up to the Lord, then He will bless you. He will reward you. And in doing that, it will touch somebody else's life. I can remember so vividly when I first got saved. There was a young man in the church. He hadn't been saved many years before. And he just really, really amazed me a lot of times. Because he'd get to praying. He'd get to praising God. I mean, he'd get happy. He'd begin to shout. He'd begin to jump. He'd begin to dance. He'd begin to run. He'd begin to weep. And I'm just taking this all in like, wow, this guy is really, really strange. He's kind of really getting into it. The more I watched him, and the more the Spirit of God began to deal with me, the more I began to realize that's what God's wanting in me. A yieldedness to the Spirit of God. A yieldedness to the Holy Ghost. And to begin to develop a hunger in my heart to be full of the Holy Ghost, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I just began to seek. I began to pray. It took me a little while to realize and understand that it's not about you, it's all about Him. And just finding that place of surrender. It was hard for me, church. I want you to understand, it was very hard for me because I never quit in my entire life. I just one of those guys that if you told me I couldn't, I did it. I found a way to get it done. Believe it or not, I uprooted a 4-inch tree with my bare hands. They all laughed at me and said, "You'll never get that done." I said, "You weep and watch." Worked on it for 2 hours. And at the end of 2 hours, I had it in one hand by the root. And said, threw it down and said, "All right, guys, what's next?" It's not always about brute strength, church. I just kept working at it, pulling it this way, pulling it this way, pulling it this way, working those roots loose in that dirt, and then I'd twist it, and then I'd lay it down on the ground that way, 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 and then finally when I felt like I got it loose enough, I grabbed it by that one root that was sticking up in the air by now, and out of the ground she came. You see, where there's a will, there's a way. And when we can learn to surrender that will to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we'll be filled with the Holy Ghost of God that quick. Hallelujah, because that's what it's all about. It's about surrender to the Spirit of God, giving control to Him. And see, that was a very hard thing for me to do. Was to give control to somebody else. I'll just be transparent with you. Because in my mind, nobody else could do it like I could do it. And when it came time to surrender my will to somebody else, that was a hard road to cross. Very hard road to cross. But the moment that I did it, and that moment that I surrendered, was one of the greatest moments of my entire life. Because all heaven flooded my soul. And I, for the first time in my life, realized how important surrender was to God, to have the fullness of God flowing in my being, flowing in my life. Hallelujah. And from that point forward, I never want to be without that Spirit of God flowing in my life, flowing in my heart, flowing in my soul. Sometimes it's stronger than others, but I do not want to be without the Spirit of God moving me, speaking to me, encouraging me, directing me. Hallelujah. I don't want to find myself grieving the Spirit of God nor quenching the Spirit of God, because I know that will not accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. And I'll lose my delight in sacrifice. I'll be plagued with what's the use. I'll be plagued with, nobody's listening. I'll be plagued, nobody wants to live that way anymore. Elijah was that he had that problem. Nobody's serving God but me. Let's stand, church. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. God of heaven, I thank you, Lord God, for the great salvation that you have planned before the foundations of the world. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for coming and becoming flesh and dying in the place of our sin. And I thank you, Lord God, for that born-again experience. And I thank you for the promise of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the gift of the Spirit of God. I thank you for your wonderful Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. But God, you will always be there to keep that delight in sacrifice alive. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Glory to the King. Lift your hands, church, unto the Lord and thank Him. Hallelujah for what He has done in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God of heaven, we rejoice, Lord, in the goodness and the mercy, Lord, that you've had upon our lives. Time and time again, Lord. Hallelujah. You've reached down your hand, Lord, and you lifted us out of the pit, God, that we have dug. Oh, Lord, because you're not willing that any should perish, Lord, but that all would come to the knowledge of Christ and the power of the living God, the mighty God of heaven, that love, that you have for all kind. Oh, be the name of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, the great God of heaven.